Hello, and welcome to your favorite bookish podcast, Fully Booked and Caffeinated. I'm Heather.
I'm Kelsey.
And today we will be discussing The Wedding People by Allison Espach. Correct? Is that
what it was? Allegedly.
Allegedly. I was thinking it was Espache. I was like, I didn't know how to pronounce it. So we did a quick Google search
to confirm. Yeah, and the Google says it's an aggressive Espach.
Espach.
Yeah.
So, this book was super popular out of nowhere. It is like a new release. It just came out in July, but it was a book of the month choice, and it just seemed to be loved by everyone that read it, for the most part. Every post that I would see on Bookstagram was positive.
Yeah.
Everyone said it was one of their favorite reads of the year. So we decided we would do it. Before we get into anything, I just want to give a trigger warning because there will be discussion of suicide in this book because it's a heavy theme, which I wasn't expecting. I went in this book blind. So when I read that, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they really don't give anything away in the summary.
No,
I was not like, at all. Oh.
I was like, oh, okay, this is the tenor that we're starting with.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
And I just assumed that it would be a full romance novel, but it's really not.
No, it's actually really not. It's like a contemporary fiction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pleasantly surprised.
I was too. What is your fuel of the day?
Well, I'm not having anything interesting at the moment, but I did have this weekend. I had Cutwater espresso martinis. It's in a can.
Yeah.
So I've tried the Crook and Marker ones. I think I talked about them on this podcast. I hated them. Disgusting. Gross. Which is a shame because I love Crook and Marker. But the Cutwater ones are very good. I added a little bit of hazelnut coffee creamer to make it a little creamier. Because in a can, they're not, you know, they're not that creamy. Mm-hmm. But it was actually delicious. And they're like 15% or something.
Oh my God. So
they're hitting like a martini. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's a pretty good substitute for, you know, buying 30 ingredients and making your own espresso delicious martini. Espresso martini.
It's just a lot of work.
So, yeah, like I recommend
espresso and it's a lot.
And sometimes it's better with like cold brew liqueur. There's just, you know, there's a lot. So
I don't have time for that.
No.
Mm-mm.
Definitely don't. So what are you drinking?
In the spirit of tomorrow being Halloween, I am drinking a Shipyard Pumpkinhead beer.
Very good choice. Tis the season.
Tis the season. And I need to get them out of the fridge because we're running out of room in our fridge. So
yeah, wait till the holidays come. You're screwed.
Yeah, I know. Basically. So, cheers.
Cheers.
So, Allison Espach. Nope. Espach. I'm going to keep screwing this up. Is a New York Times bestselling author, a New York Times editor's choice, a Today Show hashtag Read with Jenna book club pick, a Barnes & Noble book club pick, and the number one indie next pick for August 2024. Surprisingly, this is not her debut novel.
Look out.
Don't know how she slipped under the cracks. She's also written Notes on Your Sudden Disappearance, which I've actually had on my TBR for a while.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. And The Adults. And she also has a fictional audio series on Audible called In-Depth Market Research Interviews with Dead People. I'm also intrigued by that.
I'm intrigued.
I don't have Audible because it's an Audible original, so I believe you would have to have an Audible membership.
Right.
But it sounds intriguing.
It does.
I am interested.
And knowing her dry humor.
Yeah.
I feel like it might be pretty good.
Exactly.
Huh.
And
okay.
She lives in Rhode Island, where she teaches creative writing. Double jealous. Like, that's the dream. The literal dream.
I was getting so many flashes of this area because my aunt owned an Airbnb in Newport. And the Breakers, we saw like the mansions, the cliff walk. She used to walk the cliff walk every single day. So I was picturing it. And I mean, Rhode Island is just so beautiful.
I need to go. I have not been yet to Rhode Island.
It's gorgeous. And it's so, it's like the classiness of Boston, but the beachiness of Maine. You know what I mean?
I say it every time. I think I would thrive in New England, but I just cannot do winters.
I know.
Snow would murder me. But I feel like New England is where I'm meant to be.
You'll find a place where it doesn't snow that much.
Right?
Or at least the same as New Jersey.
I know. When I was looking up the book, so this book, like I had mentioned, it was published in July, but the film rights were already picked up, and they were picked up in February.
Wow.
So even prior to this book being published, the film rights were picked up.
I'm actually so excited about this because I would love to see it as a movie.
Yeah,
would love it.
I would be interested to see how they would create that. Obviously, it's not going to be for like a while.
Yeah,
but I was like, oh, that's insane that it got picked up, because I saw the article was from March and I was confused because the book just came out. And I guess when they do like the arcs and they do like the people get previews of them prior to the publishing date, someone really liked it.
Yeah, and I know that, like, with the Reese book club picks, she'll get the rights ahead of it so that no one else can have them, but this isn't...
No, this was a...
Wasn't that.
No, this was, like, a Read with Jenna book club pick.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Wow, cool.
All right, so our good old Goodreads description. Are you ready?
Sure am.
This is longer than my 4-sentence Twilight one.
What shame.
A propulsive and uncommonly wise novel about one unexpected wedding guest and the surprising people who help us start anew. It's a beautiful day in Newport, Rhode Island, when Phoebe Stone arrives at the Grand Cornwall Inn wearing a green dress and gold heels, not a bag in sight, alone. She's immediately mistaken by everyone in the lobby for one of the wedding people, but she's actually the only guest at the Cornwall who isn't here for the big event. Phoebe is here because she's dreamt of coming for years. She hoped to shuck oysters and take sunset sails with her husband, only now she's here without him. Meanwhile, the bride has accounted for every detail and every possible disaster the weekend might yield, except for, well, Phoebe, which makes it that much more surprising when the women can't stop confiding in each other. It turns uproariously, absurdly funny, and devastatingly tender. Allison Espax, The Wedding People, is a look at the winding paths we can take to places we never imagined and the chance encounters it sometimes takes to reroute us.
I love it. I just have to say, spoiler alert, she does not have a single oyster.
I know. I was thinking that too.
And they talk about oysters a lot.
I know. And like, but this is what I'm saying. When I went into this book completely blind. So when the first chapter is her coming to this hotel to commit suicide, I was like, what? What's going on? Because also the art, you know, on the front of the cover looks like quirky and cute and fun. And no, that was not at all what I was expecting.
Yeah, definitely not.
So like I said, the novel opens up with our protagonist Phoebe Stone arriving at the Cornwall Inn in Newport, Rhode Island, wearing an elegant green dress, which all I could envision was the seven husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Did you do the same exact thing?
But I was okay with it.
No, me too. I was literally envisioning the dress on the cover of that book. And she's carrying no luggage. She has just fled St. Louis, Missouri, where several disparaging years of infertility challenges, her husband's affair, divorce, career struggles, COVID-19 isolation, and the worst of all, the death of her beloved cat, Harry.
Oh, Harry.
I was devastated when she found him in the basement.
I'm glad they didn't harp on him too much.
Me too.
It was very sad.
Yeah. But all of these things worsen Phoebe's depression. And she wakes up one morning and just decides, you know what? I'm done. So she plans one final night of indulgences before attempting to die by suicide. So where she wants to go is the Cornwall Inn, because this is a dream of hers. She's wanted to go here. And she thinks that this will be a good final resting spot for her. But when Phoebe arrives at the Cornwall Inn and checks in, she realizes that she's a lone outsider amidst a group of just the wedding people. I love that they're just called the wedding people throughout the book. Because every single person at this hotel or this inn is here for Lila and Gary's week-long wedding party.
First of all, nightmare. Absolute fucking nightmare. Imagine being in this wedding. Are you kidding me? But also, wowie, that they just shut down this whole inn that she can't even afford to stay in more than one night.
No, and it, like, just reopened from COVID-19, so they're short-staffed. Mm-hmm. It's, like, a whole
thing. And they're like, whoops, we made a mistake, but it's okay. You're the only person here not going to the wedding, so just stay in your room.
Mm-hmm. But when Lila sees her in the lobby, she mistakes Phoebe for one of Gary's family members, and so she gifts Phoebe with a welcome basket that Lila just got for all of her guests, which, okay, that's actually really cute. Mm-hmm. She's extra, but it's cute. And she ends up joining Phoebe on an elevator ride to her suite. And at this point, Phoebe's... So prior to her appearance at the Cornwall Inn, Phoebe was definitely very submissive and just kind of kept to herself. Maybe was kind of like a pushover.
Mm-hmm.
Did whatever else anybody said. Didn't really cause a stir. So... at this point, she's like, I'm going. Like, this is it. So she cares less about pretending to be something that she's not. And she basically flat out tells Lila, I'm gonna die tonight by suicide. Like, this is it. This is my final day. I'm not here for your wedding. And Lila is shooketh to the core. She's pissed. You cannot
so pissed.
Die and ruin my wildly expensive wedding week.
She's
how
like,
dare.
How dare you? You will not ruin this for me.
You will
not. And Phoebe's
not.
Like, did you hear me?
I know. Lila doesn't even give two shits about the fact that Phoebe's basically telling her that I'm going to commit suicide. Lila's like, no, because your corpse will not ruin the vibe of my
oh,
wedding.
Yeah. She's like, I will not have them carting your body off tomorrow when I'm supposed to be having one of my many planned events.
Honestly,
I don't even remember what the first one was, but I'm sure
it was
like something
a welcome
ridiculous
reception or something. And so she explains to Phoebe that the dying wish of her father was that she marry Gary, and her dad had died during the pandemic isolation, and he left Lila $1 million specifically for her wedding.
I'm sorry. What now?
Specifically for her to get married. So Lila has, like, planned every detail of this wedding week with extravagance. And so many planned events. Like, no shoe, or, like, no stone unturned. She spent everything.
I don't think I could spend, I mean, I could spend that money. But I don't think I could spend that much money on a wedding, even if I tried.
I mean, I won't lie, weddings are expensive. But to spend $1 million?
$1 million.
Is very, very... very excessive.
And
like, very excessive.
You're in Newport, Rhode Island, which is expensive, don't get me wrong. And the Breakers, that's crazy. But you're not flying everyone to the south of France.
Right?
Or to a villa in Italy. No, that'd probably be cheaper. Anyway, go on.
And then all of a sudden, so Lila just follows Phoebe into her room, by the way. She just barges in. She's just like, I've paid for everyone to stay here, so I get to go where I want to go, even though Phoebe did pay for this first night. And she confides in Phoebe kind of all these fears that she has out of nowhere. She talks about how she's terrified of failing to honor her father's memory and legacy. And she talks about kind of her strained relationship with her mother. And it just kind of seems she comes off as very abrasive and forward, but not in a negative way. It's just like her personality.
Mm-hmm. She so obviously needs someone to talk to.
Yeah.
But the way that she does it is just completely dismissive of anything that Phoebe says.
Mm-hmm.
And your perception is that she's not listening to anything Phoebe
yes.
says or caring about it, mm-hmm. which isn't necessarily the case, but that's how it comes off, especially because they have just met.
They just met. And she's kind of already just opening up about all these personal things in her life to a complete stranger, which mm-hmm. I guess in hindsight, this is the time to do it. The week
yes.
of your wedding. Any
to a complete stranger,
you know,
who's
exactly.
about to kill themselves.
Who doesn't know anything? I know. Who doesn't know anything? And so that is kind of I would understand it.
But the whole way she frames it is just that everything is about her. So why
100%.
It comes off as what is wrong with this girl.
Mm-hmm. And Lila ends up leaving to go to the opening reception. So this is the first event of her wedding week. And she kind of tells Phoebe that, you know, her mom is going to make a speech because her mom was upset that she, like, wasn't able to give a speech at the wedding. So she's doing it at the reception and she's terrified of what her mother is going to say. She leaves. So Phoebe's plan to commit suicide is to swallow a bottle of Harry's tuna fish flavored pain medication.
Bruh, I already know that shit smelled horrible.
Horrible. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. I can envision it. I have cats. I know what cat treats smell like. What wet cat food smells like. It's not great. It's not great.
Disgusting. Ugh. No.
Yeah. So Phoebe does it. She swallows the whole bottle. She lays on the bed. And then she hears Patricia, Lila's mother, giving an unflattering speech about Lila. And even while this is happening, you can already tell that Phoebe's panicking about her decision and that this actually isn't what she wants to do. So she forces herself to vomit the pills up but mainly also because she doesn't want to miss the end of Patricia's speech.
Yeah. She's like, wait, I gotta hear how this ends. She's already invested. And the night isn't going, which is basically the story of Phoebe's life. The night is not going how she envisioned.
It already went off the rails. She was gonna come order room service. Oh, she can't even order room service because that's derailed because of the wedding.
Mm-hmm. She couldn't take a bath because there was no bath stopper, which, crime against humanity.
I know. But she did have that chocolate wine, though. From the welcome basket.
Yeah, because Lila put full-size bottles in the welcome bags, which, yes, put that million-dollar budget to use.
So Phoebe ends up waking in the middle of the night, and she's actually thankful to be alive. So she went from, it's kind of like a complete, you know, 24-hour, her whole mindset shifts. And she goes down to the hotel hot tub, which sounds amazing, by the way. It's like the middle of the night and you just go use the hot tub, like sign up. And a handsome stranger joins her in the hot tub. And I feel like this is the first time in Phoebe's life that she just lets loose and doesn't think so much about what she's doing or saying. And so she has like this really fun, flirtatious conversation. And she speaks honestly about how she came here to commit suicide and that she doesn't want to die by suicide anymore. And the stranger kind of not like reciprocates the feelings, but he says that he's like been there and he knows that feeling of wanting to no longer be here anymore.
So they he completely validates everything that she says.
He doesn't look at her weird. And so they kind of just create this immediate kinship. And I loved this. Phoebe invites him up to her room to have sex because she's like, I am really attracted to this man and I just want to bang him. And she just doesn't even care. Doesn't even just gets out of the hot tub and is like, want to come to my room? Eh? You know, want to go have some fun? But unfortunately, attractive stranger man is off the market. And I knew in this moment who it was. Freaking knew
it. Did you?
Yeah. I knew it. Mm-hmm. So the next morning, Lila just marches into the bedroom and just orders coffee and breakfast and just complaining about her mother. So again, like you said, it's very much like me. This is my week. I'm the most important person in this entire universe currently. And she is trying to convince Phoebe to stay for the week for the wedding events. So again, doesn't know this lady, but just wants her to stick around for her entire extravagant day or week of events. I would be so tired by like night two.
I mean, there's 0% chance all of this is happening. This is crazy. Also, all these people who came, how are you taking all this time off work?
I know.
I have a lot of questions.
So many questions. And so Phoebe agrees to stay, and Lila insists that she accompany her and other guests on a sailing excursion. So, I mean, Phoebe goes from, like, wanting to die to now just having all this stuff handed to her for free. Like, honestly, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah. It sounds wonderful.
I'm very jealous. At the excursion, she meets Lila's bridesmaids, Lila's future sister-in-law, and then Lila's future stepdaughter, Juice. I love that her name is just her nickname is Juice.
I love Juice.
So cute. And Phoebe can automatically sense that there's tension between Lila and her future family members. So that's kind of red flag number one of this entire experience. And then when Lila introduces Phoebe to her fiance, Gary, spoiler, it's the guy from the hot tub. Mm-hmm. I knew it. I really, truly knew it. Did you not even realize, or are you just lying and you also figured?
I knew that he was someone important. My first thought didn't go to the groom. But now that it happened, I'm like, oh, duh.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I just wasn't even thinking that far.
Yeah. And then as they're going on to the boat, Juice's virtual pet dies. So I'm thinking like Tamagotchi.
This is a Tamagotchi.
This is a Tamagotchi. But she's devastated because it was one of the last gifts that she got from her mother, who passed away and who was Gary's first wife. And Phoebe, again, she's literally the most amazing person, and I don't even understand how she had such a terrible life. She offers to conduct a funeral on the boat for this Tamagotchi.
She just always knows exactly what to say. And even if she didn't, the fact that she's this outside party, uh-huh, who doesn't automatically have all this animosity like Marla and Juice and all these people, anything she says is going to make sense anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love how they are constantly like, oh, ask the professor. Oh, Phoebe knows everything.
I know.
Ask Phoebe.
She's so smart.
Phoebe would know. She's, oh, of course you would know that, Phoebe.
Like, I feel like this whole trip, she's kind of validated by all these random strangers. And I,
1,000%.
Which she never got in the first, what is she, in her 40s just about? I believe she's in her 40s, like late 30s,
yeah,
early 40s. So the first half of her, complete half of her life, she's seems to have been ignored or not thought of
taken
as much.
Taken seriously,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I saw this little blurb and I thought it was so true. So when Juice and Phoebe bond as they say goodbye to invisible bonds, and the invisible bonds are Juice to a significant tie to her mother, and Phoebe to the children that she'll never have due to infertility challenges. And I was like, oh, that's sad.
It's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all symbolic of, so because then she also sees it as letting go of Harry, of letting go of her life that she doesn't want to go back to, and her sadness, and
uh-huh, yeah.
Damn, that Tamagotchi.
I know. And then also on the boat, she meets Jim, who is Gary's best man and also the brother of his deceased wife.
This is messy.
The webs we weave. I can't. And so the kind of the thought is, it feels too, that Lila's trying to like hook Jim and her up.
Mm-hmm.
But then Phoebe's on the boat and she's having like a really fun conversation with Gary, and Jim is like staring at them. And it's like, he just knows. He's like, what are you weird people talking about? Like, you get along way better than Gary and Lila, who when Phoebe sees them, it just seems like their whole relationship is staged and it's not mm-hmm. as affectionate as you would think.
I really liked that this was added in there, because normally you would hate that Phoebe has a crush on this guy
mm-hmm.
who's engaged to her new best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the author made it so apparent that they were not compatible
mm-hmm.
and that everyone noticed it, not just Phoebe putting it in her own brain, I think was a really good touch. Because you don't always get that.
Yeah, you don't. No, you really don't. And then Phoebe's... So she's developing this unlikely friendship with Lila, but she's also getting irritated with her because she's just excessively complaining about minor details, and, you know, the smallest thing could happen and Lila acts like it's literally the end of the world and that now nothing is happening the way that she wants it to. So it's doomed to be successful,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the misunderstood relationships. Because you can tell that Juice and Lila don't have a good relationship. And also, she kind of refuses to call Juice that name. She keeps, mm-hmm. which I can't even remember what her real name is because I'm just so
Melanie.
Used. Melanie, or is that what it was?
It was definitely
it was
Mel.
Something with an M, yeah.
It was definitely Mel. I think it was short for Melanie.
Yeah. So when she doesn't call Juice by the name that she's chosen, so that obviously is going to piss off a teenage girl. Like, call me
of
what
course.
I want called, or she's like, yeah. fine, or whatever. And there's also a strain between Lila and Marla, the sister-in-law. Marla
sucks.
Marla sucks. But also, she was, like, cheating on her judge husband.
Yeah.
Was, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, okay.
And then the sexting, I was yeah. like, he's a judge and she was cheating on him with another judge.
Yeah, and the sexting, I was dying. I was dying.
I was like, wow, okay. Get it, girl.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Lila's maid of honor can no longer come. What was it? I can't remember what it was. Her kids were sick. Or something.
Oh, her son had COVID.
Yes, her son had COVID. So Lila tells Phoebe, I want you to be my maid of honor. And Phoebe's like, YOLO, sure. My life is just a punchline now at this point. Like,
she's like, fuck it, why not? You know? And that's why
what was I gonna
Phoebe
be doing this week?
Yeah, exactly. She's like, I don't want to go back to my life and make these hard decisions mm-hmm. yet. Let me stick it out a little longer and hopefully come to some plan. But also, like you were saying before, she's getting so annoyed by mm-hmm. Lila, but Phoebe is still such a compassionate person. Yeah. Even though she's got this new personality where she's saying what she thinks and standing up for herself, she still is like, okay, she's being annoying and I'm gonna tell her she's being annoying, but she has no one around. She has this idea of the way things are supposed to go and they're not going that way. Like, she mm-hmm. just is so understanding.
Yeah. And
so
then she's
I like
then,
that.
Exactly. And she's also kind of okay with being the maid of honor because now over the course of what is it, like 2 days, she's formed this already strong connection with Gary and Juice.
Mm-hmm.
And so being in this position kind of puts her closer to them as well, and she gets to be around them and she just really cares about them pretty instantaneously. And like you said, the festivities are a really strong distraction for her from the life that she has in St. Louis. But then also her ex-husband, Matt, is just blowing up her phone, which annoyed me because...
Yeah.
You cheated on her with her work friend, by the way. Psychotic.
The only person she considered a
exactly.
friend at all.
Exactly. Who had just had a baby with her husband. So he's moving into her house with her new baby. I'm going to raise it.
And her husband was also suffering
suicidal.
From depression and mm-hmm.
he tried to
complete
to suicide
too.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and like,
be more of a stereotype, bro.
I give Phoebe such props for not indulging him and responding. She just leaves him on read more or
yeah.
less. Just ignores
which,
him.
Which, you know, as I'm reading, I'm like, that's a bad idea because he's going to find you or call the police or whatever. And you should just, you know, answer the phone and say, fuck you. But in real life, I'm mm-hmm. like, yes, girl.
Exactly.
Leave him on red.
You know, and he deserves it because look at what he did to her. He completely mm-hmm. upended her life unexpectedly. So, okay, now he has to worry about her a little bit. You know, fuck you. You deserve that.
And he also described in detail when he fell in love with the other woman mm-hmm. and how she made his life so much better and how mm-hmm. he couldn't deal with his depression. Like, he gave way too many details.
Way too many
Bro,
details.
Bro, just leave. Just, mm-hmm. you don't have to explain it.
Yeah. So the bachelor party cracked me up because now Phoebe also got, like, this binder. And so she had to figure out what the maid of honor was planning.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this woman there who was like a zoologist and did like panda sex. Like, she was involved in pandas mating.
Yeah, yeah.
And that wasn't what I was expecting this to go. And again, I loved this. I was like, this
yeah.
is actually amazing. And they had like
it's so funny.
You know, like penis straws or whatever the fuck they were.
Like, there was not just enough about the binder now that I'm
no,
thinking about it.
I know. And I think, like, honestly, Phoebe being thrown into this role and not knowing jack shit about any of these people or the bride, she did pretty well, realistically.
Yeah, especially for someone like Lila, mm-hmm. who's
yeah.
got very high standards.
Yeah. Lila gets very drunk at the bachelorette party, and when they're in Phoebe's room, she confesses that she doesn't want to marry Gary. So the backstory to this relationship is when Henry, her dad, when her father Henry was dying, Gary was his gastro doctor. And I believe, did Henry have cancer? Was that what it was?
Yes.
So, you know, Gary kind of gave Lila hope, but there was a chance meeting at her mother's art gallery. And Gary and Jim came into the gallery, and Gary bought this naked photo of her mother.
So and weird.
Then Lila meets him again at the doctor's office, and so she kind of thinks it's like kismet, like they're meant to like be together, like this is fate. And you know, Gary was so sure that he was going to save Henry's life and everything. So Lila, it just seemed like she kind of felt forced into this relationship in a sense, but without realizing it,
mm-hmm.
because of the hope that it was bringing her dad. So she doesn't really have a strong relationship emotionally with Gary. Sounds like physically they might be fine, but even she even says like during sex, like she's not even.
Yeah, it's not like it's basically vanilla sex.
Yeah, exactly. So she's in this relationship with this man that she should not be spending $1 million wedding on, mm-hmm. because it's not even.
And it's not even that she doesn't like him or that he's not a good person or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that she's not in love with him.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, on paper, this is who I should be with. Mm-hmm. And who he's, you know, who's taking care of me, which I was dying when she was talking shit about his gray beard. And I was like, I know Heather would take that in a second. So,
you know,
back
I would.
Off, buddy.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would. Love a silver fox.
Absolutely. I mean, Gary sounded
not
hot.
Not brand new information. He did sound hot. Yeah, he really did. But Phoebe stops Lila from trying to call it off in the middle of the night. And Lila apparently is a big snorer, which cracked me up. So Phoebe goes down to her room to sleep. And then Gary ends up coming in. And in this moment, Phoebe realizes that she obviously has a super attraction to Gary. She really cares about him. And she gets the sense that Gary feels the same, but he kind of needs to walk on eggshells as well, because it's literally his wedding,
mm-hmm.
that is going to happen.
And they have just met.
Just met. But Phoebe has this nugget knowing that Lila's going to call it off. But she's keeps it to herself and she behaves. She doesn't make any rash decisions. Doesn't, you know, you could tell that Gary was like, we could do something tonight. And Phoebe's...
Or at least say that we want to do something.
Exactly. And Phoebe kind of has the self-respect and, like, the, you know, generosity towards Lila to say, no, you know, you're literally getting married. And then the next morning, Lila acts like nothing happened. And the whole wedding is continuing
on. Now that I saw coming.
As, oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Of course, of course, of course. And then, so then Phoebe ends up spending individual time with Jim, because they both have to write these speeches. Because now Phoebe has to write a maid of honor speech and Jim has to write a best man speech. And in this conversation with Jim, she realizes that it was Jim that was attracted to Lila. And he brought Gary to the art gallery to kind of have, like, a meet-cute with Lila.
Yeah, literally to be his wingman. But he forgot to tell Gary.
Yeah. And then he also feels bad for Gary because his wife died, who's also his sister. So when he thinks that, you know, when Gary tells Jim, like, oh, guess who I ran into and who I'm, like, going on a date with, Jim's kind of like, well, fuck me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get in the way of fate.
Mm-hmm.
But even
or
though,
some semblance of happiness that Gary could have again.
Yeah. And then and then Phoebe also realizes that Lila has, like, this attraction to Jim as well, but she plays it off like he's this gross guy who's always flirting with her and yada, yada, yada. But Phoebe can see right through it. She's like, mm-hmm. you guys should be together. This should be the relationship that's happening. But, you know, in true fashion, of course, it's not how it's going to work. In the mm-hmm. book, the two people who are meant to be together are going to fight their attraction. and be with people they're not supposed to be with.
Especially during the wedding week from hell.
Exactly, exactly. And then, out of nowhere, Matt, the ex-husband, arrives at the Cornwall Inn, begging for Phoebe's forgiveness.
He does not deserve to set foot in the Roaring Twenties room. He does can not. Fuck right off.
He doesn't even deserve to be in Phoebe's presence, to be quite honest. He admits that he made a mistake. He's not happy with Mia, I think her name is. Mm-hmm. He's not happy with her. You know, he was a rash decision. He was just so unhappy. And, you know, he couldn't handle Phoebe's depression. It was just so fucked up. I hate that. I hate when men are like, well, I couldn't handle your feelings.
Ugh.
Okay.
I couldn't handle that you couldn't have a baby. Mm-hmm. So I decided to punish you by ruining your life and making you question your self-esteem, your existence, etc. Wow. Yep. I hate men. Sorry.
And he, like, proposes that they could have a new start. They could consider adoption. And what I didn't want to happen happened. She does spend the night with Matt. Even though she knows that there's... She really wants to talk to Gary because, like, she knows that she feels really strongly about Gary. And she knows that, you know, Gary confesses to her that he's attracted to her as well. And he feels something there. But, you know, Matt is comfortable. It's something that she knows. Obviously, you can't blame her for falling into this. Especially if you look at it in the situation where he's finally showing up for her when he hasn't in a long time.
And in a way, it's kind of like, even though it's seen as her forgiving what he did, now she has the power. She could say no, and she says yes because she wants to have sex.
Yeah, exactly.
Not because, and she, it's I not. Liked that the whole time it wasn't, well, we'll see how things go. She knew that things were not going to go.
No. And that's what I'm saying. When she woke up the next morning and she just, you know, Matt automatically was like, oh, I have to get a tux, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Phoebe's like, no, like, this isn't... She completely
I thought it was fucking
down.
Weird he was coming to the wedding.
Me too. Me too.
Sir.
He just wanted to, like... He wanted things to go back to how they were. And I think if it was pre-suicide Phoebe, I think it would have happened how he wanted it to, and he could have melded 1,000% her into what he wanted. But now this is post-suicide attempt Phoebe, who is a completely new woman. And knows her worth and knows what she wants, and Matt isn't it.
And sees that she could actually be happy. She doesn't remember the last time she was actually happy. But also, now that I'm thinking about it, Matt did not have enough questions about who Lila was, whose wedding this was.
He just
wanted... What?
I think because he's also... kind of like Lila, and he's kind of selfish and only cares about himself and his wants and his needs. So who cares?
He couldn't even see past what he came there for.
It didn't have to do with for him, then I don't think that he really cared. And then Phoebe resolves to make Lila's wedding day perfect, even though she knows that this should not be happening, but you know, it's not her place. She's just met these people. She can't be like, stop the wedding, like, you know. But then there's an issue with the vehicles. The car that Lila wanted. The car
I forgot
that
about the car.
Yeah. The car that Lila wanted to be driven to the wedding ceremony in is not what shows up. And this just completely...
Wait, rewind.
Oh, the other one? The first car?
Yes.
The I car that like, got, like, that some dude fucked. Was sticking his dick into, which, okay, love that. That was actually
very funny.
I mean,
something I did not see coming.
No, me either.
This book is very funny.
I love this.
It's
oh my
very
God.
Funny.
The so
whole
funny.
Weed thing.
The, oh
when
my
Phoebe
God.
And Jim smoke
that
weed together. Incredible.
Favorite scene. Can I have two weeds, please?
And she's looking at the package of the edible. He's like, it's not going to have instructions on it. It's an edible. Like, I don't know
honestly,
what to tell you.
Jim and Phoebe's relationship, I knew it was never going to be anything sexual or romantic. Mm-hmm. It was just very platonic. I was obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
They, again, two people that just met in 48 hours, and they also formed this kinship just automatically. You know, it's like all these people were like meant to come into Phoebe's life. It almost feels like this is a life like she should have had from
because
the very start.
They were also so honest with each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously everything Jim said about Lila, but also when he said to Phoebe, oh, I haven't seen Gary look at someone mm-hmm. like he looks at you since my sister.
Yeah.
So they're just so honest with each other mm-hmm. that it kind of breaks down those barriers. Like, they know nothing is going to happen between them, so they can yeah. just joke around, flirt. They can, around, just, be,
and
they can just
be honest with each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so... I think what I loved so much about, too, just the post-suicide Phoebe, is just the raw honesty. Because what does she have to lose?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she already tried to off herself and was unsuccessful, which is what she realistically wanted. Mm-hmm. And now, so she's just kind of, she got like a second chance at life, and she's living it honestly and
mm-hmm.
being who she should have always been.
And realizing that it's not serving anyone for her to not speak her mind. Like, she's not cruel mm-hmm. at all, but she's honest. And she's like, what's the point of not being honest? Because that's not going to help Lila. That's not going to help any of these people. And it's certainly not going to help me to pretend like everything is fine, like I always have. So
the car situation, the day of the wedding, this just is, this proves inconsolable for Lila. And it's, the wedding has to be off.
Mm-hmm.
This just, because this is just the whole morning. Sign.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. The whole morning, she's waiting for a
she's
sign.
Waiting
she's
for
like,
a sign.
Oh, look at that beautiful sky. Oh, look at my perfect hair. Mm-hmm. Like, she's waiting for something to be wrong so that she mm-hmm. can call it off.
Exactly. And then she confesses to Phoebe that she doesn't even really love Gary, and that Gary doesn't love her how she wants to be loved. This was probably one of my favorite parts of the book. Because it takes such strength to admit to yourself when a relationship, it's not even a toxic relationship. It's a good relationship. These are two good people. But she just knows that Lila knows what she deserves and how she wants to be loved. And the fact that she's owning up to the fact that this isn't what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she was doing it to placate her father, who's dead, yes, by the way.
Who's dead.
Who's and not even though. Here,
she's so scared of being alone. It's not enough for her to do this when she knows it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And that yeah. is a really brave thing. I mean, you should probably do it before the $1 million wedding, but mm-hmm. that's not my business.
Yeah. And, you know, so Lila obviously, like, feels ashamed because she spent so much money and she's wasted so much of everyone's time. But then you, of course, have this moment, the ultimate moment of the book, where Phoebe tells Lila, like, this wedding saved her life, you know, and it most successful weddings don't accomplish something like this. Like, she truly saved a woman that she's never known.
Mm-hmm. That was such a beautiful moment, and Phoebe is such a good person in this situation, because Lila starts freaking out. She's like, what am I gonna do? And Phoebe's like, you're gonna go take a bath.
Yeah,
you're mm-hmm. you're just gonna go back up to your room. And then you're going to go wherever you want to go.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, Phoebe just automatically steps up. She's like, I'll let everyone know. Like, it's mm-hmm. just, like, you just, you don't have any more responsibility from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a beautiful moment. You know, and it, in retrospect, even though Lila's life kind of fell apart, I'm sure she feels good about knowing that she saved someone unintentionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, the fact that in that moment, Phoebe isn't thinking, oh, great, now Gary's up for grabs. She's thinking about Lila and what's uh-huh. best for Lila, who's her new unexpected friend.
Yeah.
And even though Lila comes off as this, you know, selfish mm-hmm. kind of bridezilla, there's yeah. little inklings where you know, like when she comes into Phoebe's room without knocking, and she's like, well, did you ever think that when you tell someone you're going to kill yourself and then you don't answer the door that maybe they'd mm-hmm. be worried about you? And
I
it's
know.
Like, it's such a passing statement.
That was so jarring, though, when I read that.
Yes. Because you're like, oh, that's a very valid point. And then she just keeps on, you know, complaining about whatever. But it's so real and so true.
So the ending of this book is really, it's so well done. So Phoebe decides that she's going to leave her job as an adjunct Victorian literature professor, and she's going to focus on her professional writing, and she has this dream job. She's going to be a winter keeper for a Newport mansion.
Incredible.
I'm like, the dream. She plans on adopting a dog that her and Juice found at a local animal shelter. Loved this
Same
as well.
Named Frank.
Uh-huh. I love Frank. And it leaves the ending so open-ended because her and Gary don't really make, like, concrete plans to, like, meet up in the future. You know, Gary's just leaving he's leaving a wedding that he was supposed to be married. And Phoebe just went through a very huge life-changing decision. And so they both kind of are like, you know, reach out to me when you're settled, like, in your new job. And when you feel, even if you don't have any questions, like, call anyway. I love mm-hmm. that, too, by the way. I was mm-hmm. like, that was really cute. I really like that.
I loved that it was open-ended and that they mm-hmm. didn't make the yeah. concrete plans. Because me then too. It would have been so, like, predictable cookie cutter, you yeah. know? And mm-hmm. instead it was like, oh, I'll see you around, mm-hmm. you know?
So then the book starts with Phoebe coming to the Cornwall Inn with the intention of being super depressed and ready to just end her life. And now she leaves the Cornwall Inn with this refreshed claim to her identity and future.
For, like, her new life.
Completely different spectrum. Like, yeah, she comes in. She kind of does kill herself. She kills her old self. And now, when she woke up in the middle of the night, the night of her suicide attempt, she was just a new Phoebe. It was mm-hmm. a new chance at life.
With new motivations and new determination and mm-hmm. a new attitude.
Yeah, it was just such a beautiful story.
And I also loved that Lila was texting her. Mm-hmm. So it gives you the idea that maybe they will stay friends. Probably not if she gets with Gary, but you know what I mean.
I don't know, because Lila's obviously going to get with Jim.
Yeah, they could double date. That would probably be fine.
I think that that's also what I kind of like about this book, is that you don't have an epilogue. So, like, mm-hmm. you have no idea where any of these four main characters are in their lives.
And we know how an epilogue can ruin a story.
Exactly. So, you know, us as the readers, we can envision what we want the ending to be for these four fictional characters. And mm-hmm. in my mind, these four are, like, just a really great group of friends. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's no weirdness, because Lila and Gary really weren't truly in love.
Mm-hmm.
So there's and just likes yeah.
Aunt Lila a lot more than stepmom yeah. Lila.
So there's no harm, no foul. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And Lila and Phoebe have this friendship that was created out of the darkest time of Phoebe's life. So it's just, that is the ending that I would envision for them. Mm-hmm. And I love them and I want them to be real.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this in movie form. It's right? just so perfectly set up.
Yeah, it truly is. And I feel like we talked a lot about just different things throughout. I'm, like, looking at my discussion questions. I'm like, we basically touched everything while we were discussing. This is one of those books that, like, you talk about things as you're, like,
reviewing it. As it's happening,
it.
Yeah. Because it's also the same things keep happening. Like, Phoebe's growth, there's so many examples of it. And Lila's personality, there's so many examples of, you know what I mean? Like, it just,
yeah.
it's they such really, like a full circle thing.
And these two strangers has complemented each other so well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, you try to think and, like, put yourself in that position. And it's, I would love to be just a random, like, a wedding crasher unintentionally. Not to, like, go commit suicide. But just, like, a person to just, like, crash a wedding. And then you just kind of, I love meeting new people. And I love learning mm-hmm. people's stories. So this is, like, right up my alley.
Oh, yeah. Like, you I would be the maid of honor. I could see you being the maid of honor in a stranger's wedding.
You know?
And then texting me, right? Be like, here's my new friend. Here's us in our wedding dresses. I'd be like...
Definitely that person that I've met girls drunk in the bathroom and left with either their Snapchat ID or their phone number. So
mm-hmm.
it's fine. I have so many random people on my Instagram that I've met drunk in Atlantic City. Don't know who they are.
Oh, yeah.
But we're friends on Instagram.
I mean, two ships passing in the wind, you know?
Exactly. So this whole concept of their friendship was really, obviously the book is more about them than any kind of romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. And again, I love stories that really show the strength of women and coming together and the camaraderie. Like, there was no jealousy, there was no envy. It was just these two women who are so different from each other just coming together.
Mm-hmm. And it also showed the outward perception of these women, but then the author did a really good job of showing what they're struggling with also. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lila confessed all the things that she struggles with. Marla confessed what she struggles with. It's just such a journey for every woman in this book, not just Phoebe.
No.
And I love that.
Like, women, if, you know, we live in this world where women feel like they can't be honest about themselves without having some kind of judgment thrown on them.
Mm-hmm.
This was just a beautiful book of being your true self and not having any negative repercussions.
Mm-hmm. And that everyone is different and there are many facets of our personalities. Mm-hmm. Some of them are not going to be liked by everyone. Mm-hmm. And some of them, you know, are going to rub people the wrong way.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, if you stand up for yourself in a nice way, you don't have to be a bitch. If you stand up for yourself and decide that you're going to start living for you, other people are not only going to be drawn to that, but you're going to have real relationships and real friendships.
Being who you, being like your real self, you're going to attract the right people.
Instead of and we talk about this all the time, like especially relationships in your 30s when you're older. You care less about appearances and more about empowering your friends, lifting them up.
True. It's honest. It's so true. When I think back and to like
calling each other on our shit, being open, like having tough conversations, that's one of my favorite things about our relationship specifically. Like we help each other grow.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Like when I think back to my friendships in my 20s and who I was as a person then, you know, I've always considered myself to be like a good friend. But even when I think back then, I'm like, but I really wasn't like my best version of myself for those people. And I wasn't guiding them in the directions that I should have been. Because again, like when you're in your 20s, you have that feeling of jealousy and that feeling of envy. And, you know, for me in my early 20s, I was such like a wallflower. I didn't have boyfriends. And so being around all my friends who were dating and the guys that I liked my friends. So there's just kind of like this, you almost get that feeling of, as terrible as it sounds, like when something goes wrong for them, like you feel a sign of like, oh, like it's like a victory for me because you've had everything that I've wanted and now that you're like losing something. But now in my 30s, if something devastating happens to my friend, I'm like, I feel it with them.
Because
you grow as a human and you mature. And
I totally agree. It's basically that wiseness that comes with realizing that other people failing is not going to make you feel better. It's going to make you feel shitty.
Yeah.
And I think it's true for both of us that in those friendships, you know, in our early 20s, we were so quick to just roll over and agree with things because it was easier. And that wasn't always the best for us. And it wasn't always the best decision or what we wanted to do. And it sucks that, you know, you don't learn that until you're older. But at least you learn it.
I know, because there's so many friends I had in my 20s that I thought were going to be like my forever friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I can count on like one hand people that I'm still very close to that I, when I was friends with in my 20s. Like, it's just, you grow, you go on different paths as you grow, and everything changes. And like, I love being in my 30s, and I really love the friendships that I've created in my 30s. Like, these are the ones I know that are going to be, they're going to have that longevity that I've always thought my friends in my 20s were going to have. But I gotta tell you, especially after reading this book, I'm like, and I think it's just because I'm also becoming a mom, I'm like really looking forward to my 40s. And like, I've heard that like each era is better than the last, like each decade is better than the last. And when you're 20, you're like, no, you're not. Like, when I reach my 40s, I'm gonna be dead and gone. Like, my life is gonna be over. But it's, as you grow, you realize like, no, it's not. It's just gonna get better and better.
I think your mom is proof of that. You ain't never going to stop going to Atlantic City. You know what I mean?
Not going to stop my mom from being her true self, for sure. But yeah, that's that. Is there anything else that you wanted to discuss?
Well, there is one thing.
Yes.
There was a quote in this book that I reread like 5 times because I was like, wow.
There's actually one that I wrote down too, a small one. But I was like, I don't know
if it's the same one.
I was like, if it's too, but I was like, is this too deep?
Oh, this one isn't that dark.
You go ahead.
Okay. So this is obviously from Phoebe's point of view. Mm-hmm. She is so good at predicting what will happen in books, so bad at predicting what will happen in life. That is why she's always preferred books, because to be alive is much harder.
That, I remember reading that too.
That hits. Feeling, because I feel that so deeply. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why we love to read. This sense mm-hmm. of escapism and the sense of surety that at the end of the romance, the couple's going to get together.
Yeah.
At the end, you know what I mean? Like, everything is going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. There's something that you're going to predict that's going to turn out right. And you can't yeah. do that. Your own life is not, your own real life is not predictable.
Exactly.
Because there's exactly. so many things that come up and happen that twist and turn everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just felt like that was very relevant. Not even just to the book, but to life as a reader.
I know. I feel like my one that I wrote down that really, really hit me, it's more of when she's in her, like, depressive state.
Okay.
And I've just never related to anything more. Like, it felt like I was reading something that was written about me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very short sentence. Phoebe was the only person waiting in the dark to condemn herself for every single thing when the day was over. And I'm like, you're like your own worst enemy. Like, you truly, truly are. Like, no one else is caring about something that you did during the day, but you mm-hmm. just ruminate and think about things that went wrong, and
mm-hmm.
you make that's it more a really good one. Than it actually is. Yeah.
And to your point from before, like, especially as a woman, it is, we are constantly being judged. We are constantly having to try so much harder.
Mm-hmm.
Just to exist or blend in or whatever. And at the end of the day, it is so hard to be happy with ourselves.
It is. It's still something I struggle with, and everyone, I feel like yeah. every single person struggles with. You know, it's like,
definitely. Some days are obviously so much worse than others. Yeah,
there was just,
that's a good one. Damn. That's a good book.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, of course I picked these hard hitting ones that really make you think.
Like, I was ready for some,
like, feel like unexpected things.
Yes, because,
you know?
I was ready for some cheesy cookie cutter romance. Mm-hmm. This was not that at all.
Mm-mm.
And I'm glad. I loved it.
Me too. I think it really is. People kept saying it was one of, like, the best books that they read. I mean, I don't think it was the best book I read this year or ever, but it was such a good story that mm-hmm. I was so invested in.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Shall we go to the ratings?
Let's do it. I mean, we can predict where they're going, but let's do it.
I know. It's been a minute, I think, since we've had the same high ratings, so this is great.
Mm-hmm.
I did it out of bottles of chocolate wine.
Ooh. Okay, I don't love it only because it makes me think of Lurita's chocolate wine, which is horrible.
Oh, I know.
But I wanted this chocolate wine that they were drinking, because
you knew that this was good chocolate wine, though.
I mean, if Lila provided it, it was exactly. good chocolate wine. I gave this 5 bottles of chocolate wine.
As did I.
I loved, I mean, this book was so funny. Mm-hmm. It was so funny. And I loved Phoebe's sense of humor. I loved her dry wittiness.
Mm-hmm.
I loved all the characters and how they interacted. And yes, it's this deep thing that makes you feel things and makes you, you know, reflect on so much, but then it was also so lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to be around these people so badly. And it's this coming of age for these women who both, well, all the women, but we'll say mainly Phoebe and Lila, realizing that they are okay just being themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I like that you say coming of age, because it's also a coming of age and at different times in their life. Like, you don't have to be a certain age to come of age. It can happen mm-hmm. at any point of your life. And Phoebe's story is such proof of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it. I want to read her other books.
Yeah.
She's a really good author.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely like, especially the dialogue. And just how so much of it you didn't have to take too seriously.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, even the way that she touched on the fact that Phoebe was attracted to the groom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you think of, like, these storylines of, oh, she's going to be a homewrecker. Like, it wasn't that at all. Like, I never once felt like what she was feeling was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could just tell from the get that it just, like, did you see 27 Dresses? Have you watched 27 Dresses? It's kind of like Katherine Heigl's sister and mm-hmm. her boss. Like, you know that they're not good for each other, but they just kind of think that they are. And that was kind of, if I'm being blunt with you, that's who I envisioned. Like, that's the relationship I envisioned when I was reading this book.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, Phoebe was kind of Katherine Heigl, but, like, not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
whole, it I know what all you mean. Work, but, you know, yeah, it's just...
And it also, the whole topic of the suicide, it didn't come off as, well, Phoebe's doing this for... Like, I feel like if you just heard the plot of this book
mm-hmm.
and didn't read it, it sounds like, oh, Phoebe wanted attention. She told this random stranger that she was going to kill herself and then she didn't do it. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like that at all. Mm-hmm. It was, Phoebe was so stuck in the depths of her depression that all she needed was to realize that she could get out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was literally a switch flip mm-hmm. that made her figure that out. And sometimes that's what it is.
Honestly.
Because
I truly believe that.
Especially depression. Like, you can't just tell yourself not to be depressed. But mm-hmm. one day...
You just feel better.
Mm-hmm. Or you decide, today is the day I'm going to do something about it.
Exactly. Whether it's mm-hmm. your medication helping you or just you finally feel better about yourself. Like, it's... Mm-hmm. Whatever helps you.
Yeah. So that's really important too.
Yeah. What a story.
Wow, this is going to be two heavy ones this month.
Unintentionally. Sorry, my December book I'm going to make sure is fun and light.
Okay.
I'm still looking for the winter romance. Yeah. I'm going to find a cute winter romance. Even if it's not well written, I don't care at this point.
Seriously.
All right. Let's end on that note. That's all we have for you today, which was a lot. It was good.
What
we gave you today was good content. Let's
we're getting deep, okay? As we do.
Exactly. If you like what you heard, please make sure to follow, subscribe, and rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you utilize. If you have any book recommendations or questions for us, you can email us at fullybookedcafpod@gmail.com. Also, be sure to follow us on TikTok and Instagram at FullyBookedCafPod to see our upcoming reads, other books we've been reading and enjoying, just about everything, honestly, at this point. Thanks for checking us out, and remember,
if you need us, we're fully booked. Bye! Bye.